Hello, welcome to This One Time at Summer Camp. I'm comedian Steve Bouger. This is the podcast where we talk to people who have been to camp, worked on camps, and organised the camps. They'll be sharing their stories, their memories, and their mishaps for our enjoyment. Now, this episode, we are going international. We chat to Emily, Ned, and Anthony from Sydney. And they've been to summer camp 13 times between them, and they're absolutely brilliant. They talk about love, law breaking, and quite a lot about towels. Enjoy it. Hey, hello, Australia. How are you doing? You're right.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast. Now we've got three people, Ned, Anthony, and Emily. You guys work for Camp America Australia, the actual company, right?
Yes. Correct. Yes, we do.
What are your roles?
I am the outbound manager. So I manage Camp America for Australia, among some other cultural exchange programs that we do.
Okay, so you're the boss. Emily's the boss. Next.
Yeah.
She's the boss.
That's astonishing.
Ned, what's your role in this operation?
I am an outbound coordinator. So I work obviously very closely with them, with all the Camp America program. And then I also work with our Canadian program. So getting people over to the to work in ski resorts over in Canada and work those winter seasons.
Oh, nice. But you are crucially lower than Emily in the hierarchy.
Yeah, in every sense.
Morally and in the jobs. Yeah, okay. And Anthony, where are you at? Are you like also lower or is separate?
I'm pretty separate, I think. I run marketing for all of the American Institute for Foreign Study, but mostly Camp America.
Okay, great. So Emily's got no authority over you.
All of the authority over him.
Okay, so now you run the Camp America program together collectively, but you have all done Camp America. You've all been to work on summer camps yourselves. How many times have you guys done it collectively?
I've done 4 years.
Emily's done four.
I'm about to do my seventh summer.
What, you're going this summer?
I go back end of April, 29th. I fly out. I booked my flight today.
Seven in a row, is that?
Seven back-to-back, 2013. Through to now, I'm well and truly stuck.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot, isn't it? How old were you when you started?
I just turned 19.
Oh, so you started when you're 19. So now are you just 25 now? Cool.
Yeah, 25. I turned 26 end of the year.
Great. So you've gone from being like the youngest person at camp to now one of the older people, I imagine.
Yeah, it's definitely a pretty big change. I went there, 2013. I was failing uni or not going to uni, so I was like, I'm gonna go escape to the US for a little bit. Went and did the Camp America program, had a lot of fun, and just kept going back year after year. And now I've definitely become more of a senior role at camp, so it's a pretty big change from when I was running around doing whatever I wanted when I was 19.
Well, you'd hope if you'd gone back 7 years you have risen up the ranks a little bit, like if you're still going in as a low general counselor after 7 years.
I've started to get up there only just.
Right, great. And what is your role now? Like how high up have you risen?
So I am now the director of all the outdoor programs. Can't even tell you what it is. All the outdoor programs. So head of OAP is what our So like rock climbing and kayaking and biking and stuff. So I run sort of work obviously with other people, but together we run those outdoor programs.
Everything outdoors, you're running it.
Yeah. All of the above.
Which, and Emily, you actually we worked on the same camp, right?
Exactly, yep. Round Lake Camp.
Round Lake Camp, yeah. And we weren't there at the same time, but we did work at the same camp.
Yes.
And how many times? Did you go to that same camp four times then?
Yeah, I did 4 years at Round Lake. I think I was there the year after you had gone and did them consecutively. Yeah. And it was great.
And obviously I left a big impact, didn't I? Like a lot of people.
Huge. Everyone was talking about you the next summer.
Yeah, I felt that. I could feel like that one. And it was only once, and I didn't technically get invited back, but I could feel that I was wanted. You went 4 years. You finished now. You've kind of given up you're not like Ned who just keeps going back and back. But
if I could, I would.
she's not done. Yeah.
Why can't you? I guess
we tried. We tried this.
Responsibilities, yeah. No, I mean, I started as a general counsellor and ended up being senior counsellor by the time that I'd left. And then I actually started working for Camp America after my third summer, and they allowed me to go back for my fourth. And then after that, it was kind of a we'll lock you into full-time work after that. And okay. have just been sending everybody else since. But you never know. You could still go back in the future.
Oh, you're not ruling it out?
I'm not ruling it out. No way.
Wow, that's a big... And how about you, Anthony? Where are you? Are you still going back or are you finished?
Yeah. So I did one summer at Camp Redwood Glen in California. That was 2014. And then did the whole uni thing, and it doesn't really fit with Australian summer and winter.
Of course.
Mm. Yeah. And so this year I'm going back to the same camp as Ned.
Oh, right. Oh, Ned's bringing more people to his...
Yeah, he's recruiting.
We brought him in. We got him, locked him in a room with the directors and made him sign a contract.
I'm actually going against my will. Like, I don't really want to
do it. So in many ways, Ned is sort of head of recruitment as well, head of Australian recruitment. Yeah. For this camp.
I'll add that one to my CV.
Yeah, that's a point. I never thought about that. So your Australian summer is over Christmas, but the American summer is in what I would call summer. How does that work with your holidays? Does it not match up with your university holidays?
So we have a break in winter, but it's not quite long enough. It's usually 4 or 5 weeks, so not quite long enough for the 9 to 12 of a summer.
Oh, okay. So what sort of people would go from Australia to go and work on American summer camps then?
We mainly have gap year students after finishing high school who'll take that year off and then travel overseas. Okay. And then on the other side, we have people who are finishing university and are 21 plus and are coming in, and a smattering of a few in between who are like deferring so they can do camp. So really committing.
Okay. So people with a lot of time on their hands.
Yes.
Because I guess I never thought about that. We're quite lucky over here. We can sort of fit it in between we can continue university throughout the doing summer camp. But you guys have to really commit to it.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Okay. So between you've done, let me do the maths quickly, 11, 12. So you've done 12 summer camps. Oh, no, you're about to do 13, but you've currently done 11 summer camps. Yeah. That's pretty impressive. That's a lot of experience. I'll go to you first, Ned, since you're the veteran. what would you say is your overriding sort of, why do you keep going back? Like, what's the best thing about going to summer camp?
Gosh, I guess I think like the people you become like very like close with and your friends that you meet over there. It sounds like corny, but it really is like nothing else. So I guess, yeah, it's such a nice like environment to be in, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, for a few years it was a safe place to be. I was living in Canada and I'd come back to camp because it was like 3 meals a day and I got paid, so it was a safe place to come back to. But now it's
just food, just you needed feeding, really. That's a good reason to go.
Exactly. Had a better paycheck than the Canadian. I mean, I shouldn't say that. They're not too bad. But, now it is just like the people that we work with, and we have a really cool team over there, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay, great. So then at first you were just, you were literally looking to get some money, some food to continue your life in Canada. But now you've got actual general affection for the place. So you must be pretty good at it by now. Like, you must know how to deal with all the different types of children's behaviour. You must have it just... Or does it take a while to come back? Are you a bit rusty when you fly out?
I just make it up as I go.
I can see why they keep inviting you back.
I know. Like I said, there's a very good, supportive, like, core group of staff, and we do definitely have... like, we work together pretty closely, so we can deal with those, like, situations, I guess. But... I'm not bad at it by now.
I think you've been slightly humble, I hope you've been humble. Otherwise I'm worried.
No, I'm so good, actually.
So if you've been there for 7 years, I find this quite fascinating. I think out of all the people we spoke to on the podcast, you've been the most times.
No,
I think that's a good thing. It's not, I think it's you sort of dedicated your life to it. I think it's nice. I think that you must have seen the kids grow up then, because presumably the same kids go to the camp. Are there kids that you've watched go from, age 8 and 9 to now 15, 16?
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of crazy. A lot of the kids that we sort of I worked with directly when I was like my first couple of years, and now sort of staff members and unit leaders that we like I work with now, which is it's a crazy transition to see. So obviously they've graduated high school and they're into college, and we work with them now, which is really cool. But then obviously, the younger kids that were literally 3 foot high when I first started there, and now these like teenagers that, yeah, you see them grow up, and obviously working in the outdoor programs, you see them like develop skills and develop as like people as well. It's a really, really unique, I guess, experience, and a lot of fun.
And do they remember you every time? They must all look forward to seeing Ned.
they do. They definitely remember me. I guess they look forward to me. Look forward to seeing me.
Do they say that, or is that just something that you've implied from there?
He's hoping.
No, they do. I think they like me. I think they like me. Maybe just because I get coffee when we're out on trips and they climb Starbucks. But
nice.
No.
But it's nice that there are some American kids. That there are some American kids out there right now thinking, "Oh, I can't wait to see Ned this summer." That's a nice. You've had an impact.
I can't wait to get my venti mocha with Ned on the water ski trip. That's what they're really thinking.
Wow, man, you must spend a lot of your wage on Starbucks.
No, the deal is we'll stop if you pay for mine.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I've got it sorted. No, but yeah, they're great. They're a great bunch of kids, and also like a great bunch of families we work with. So a lot of them, obviously, like on opening and closing day, we get to meet the parents and stuff like that. So that's also another cool thing to,
yeah,
you know, get to really meet the whole family. And a lot of times, like the kids have got older brothers and sisters that I work with, and I've been to like Thanksgiving dinners with families and Rosh Hashanah dinner, which are Jewish holidays, and yes, it's super cool.
So, what you've made friends with the families enough to be invited to the house?
Yeah, like I've got a very close.
Ned, I don't want to point out, but it feels like a lot of your stories revolve around trying to get free food somehow.
Free food, free housing. They let us drive their cars. They take us in their planes.
But that's amazing. Whose house have you been to for Thanksgiving?
For Thanksgiving, I go to the Fishman family house. They have a very big Thanksgiving dinner, and they are always welcoming to us, which is amazing. And yeah, we go over there with. It's funny. We have like the couple of us, like me and Josh and Ben, a couple of the guys I traveled with a lot, have a really cool relationship with the family, and like they send us Christmas packages and like funny things like that. We couldn't get to Thanksgiving this year, so Josh sent some flowers for us, which was nice. But don't tell them I'm trying to get back there for next year. Well, this end of this year I'll get back for Thanksgiving. So.
Yeah, because Thanksgiving is like what, early December, is it? Late November?
Yeah, I think it's like last Thursday, November, I think.
Right, okay. So you have to fly back out to go to this free meal.
It's a pretty good meal. it worked really well when I was over in Canada, but not as much now. But I think I've got a couple of things planned, a little snow trip, and hopefully it all works out with Thanksgiving as well. So.
Oh, wow, that's so cute. And how old are the kids from that family now?
They're now, so the oldest one is 26 or 27. She's like a year or two older than me. And then Emma's 24. And then Molly, who's just started working at camp, I think she'll be 19 now.
Oh, so they're old. They're old people.
Yeah.
These aren't kids.
So yeah, like I worked with the two older sisters, and then Molly was a camper when I was there, and now they've all been staff, but I've still been there. I'm a common denominator boy staff.
they've all moved on. But you're just coming back to the free food.
Coming and going. Hey guys.
Welcome back to This One Time at Summer Camp. I'm comedian Steve Bouchet. If you listened to the last episode, you might remember Tom from Tom and Chelsea, our guests. Now, Tom and me went to the pub after the recording, and he remembered a great story that he forgot to tell on the podcast. Very infuriating. But so we got him back in to tell us and record it, and we can listen to it on this one. Here's Tom.
Every kind of story that I've got about camp is not in any way me laughing at the campers. It is purely like my inability to look after an adult. The Rain Man film did not prepare me enough. So a lot of it was helping them get dressed. Some of them would be kind of helping with toileting, depending on the need. A lot of personal hygiene stuff, shaving. I think I'd probably shaved four times before I went to camp, and I was in charge of teaching and looking after like 10 lads, their routines around shaving and things like that. So it was like, oh, right, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. So we had one camper who came to us for 3 weeks and he'd never been away from home before. Like a lot of young adults with autism, he had a kind of obsession, and his was Michael Jackson. And I think probably 4 days into him being at camp, Michael Jackson died, which, like, for us as counsellors, looking after and supporting these young men was like, what do we, like, his heroes died. Like, what do you do in that situation? We decided not to tell him. We thought it would be best one day we dropped the ball and a kid got to him and just broke the news in the least subtle way possible. He basically went, Michael Jackson's dead. Ha 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 ha. Our young man reacted in the only way that he knew how, and he just battered the lad that told him. So then no one else dared tease him, which was interesting because it kind of sorted itself out. And then afterwards, when we spoke to him about it, it turns out he knew anyway. His mama told him on the phone like 2 weeks ago. We spent so, honestly, like every single day, an hour was like, he doesn't know yet, does he? He doesn't know, he can't know. But yeah, he'd known for 2 weeks. I don't want to give him that much credit, but it really did shape what I've ended up doing. Because when I was at uni, I was doing graphic design. And that's why I moved to London. I thought people would pay me to draw, which unfortunately doesn't happen. Without the experience of Camp America, I wouldn't have ended up doing what I did, because there is no other route, I don't think, to me realistically ended up working with young adults with learning disabilities. 100%, you've got to do it. You have to do camp. If you're considering it, you've just got to jump at the chance. And I wouldn't worry about going with someone. Like, it's quite easy to do going on your own.
Tom there. Now let's get back to Australia and to Sydney and hear more from the brilliant Emily, Ned and Anthony.
And are you looking forward to this camp that Ned's going to take you to?
Definitely looking forward to it.
And Ned's going to take you under his wing, you know, show you the ways.
He always says, oh, like, you'll be fine, you'll be with me. But I don't think he's going to talk to me at camp. He's like big boss director, man. I don't think he's going to talk to me.
Well, I imagine he's too busy eating most of the time.
Definitely. I mean, I'll be too busy eating, so.
Going to make friends with the chefs, man.
What's your role? What do you know your role is going to be when you get there?
Yeah, so I'm kind of in charge of video marketing specialty. I'm going to be teaching some kids video. I'm going to be filming all the time, making some specific website videos and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So like for the camp to put on their websites and yeah, so like promotional stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's a cool job. Not heard of that job before. Does that mean you're going to avoid living with the kids? So you can have your own sort of staff quarters, or?
What I've been told, yes.
That's what Ned's told you.
But the first summer I did, I was a general counselor, so I was looking after the kids and doing like trying to teach them how to swim, and I didn't know anything about swimming apart from lessons as a five-year-old, or I would try and catch lizards with them in the trees, or I don't know.
Catch lizards?
Yeah, the kids loved catching lizards. That was just like their favorite pastime. We'd hike up one of the mountains and they'd jump in a tree and chase the lizards around the tree.
Were they successful in capturing any lizards?
Yeah, but then the lizard would bite them and they'd throw it like halfway across the camp.
This sounds like really responsible counselling. This sounds...
I was good at my job.
Where were you?
We're in California, so about an hour out of San Francisco, in the Redwood kind of forests and...
Oh, wow. The Redwood Forest, where all the famous poisonous lizards are.
I didn't know they were poisonous.
Those kids.
We used to lick like slugs and stuff.
And did you get invited back to that camp?
Not specifically, but
haven't heard yet.
I think if I asked them, they'd let me back.
How many years ago was that? How many years ago was Lizard Gate?
About 5 years ago now.
Still waiting on the invite back.
Yeah.
Did you get any Thanksgiving invites?
No.
Although, it's a much sadder.
I think I burnt my bridges, though.
He dated the director's daughter.
Oh, whoa! There we go. So Ned is, that's the gold we're really looking for. He's padded the story out with lizard crap, but now we've got the actual...
Yeah, exactly.
Ant dated the director's daughter and now is not invited back to the camp.
She was gorgeous. She was gorgeous.
Does she work at the camp as well?
Yeah, she was the canteen lady for the summer.
Wow, you take it off to Ned. You just went straight for the food. Was it love? Was it a sort of fling?
I thought it was love. I thought it was love at first sight. She walked into the dining room one morning and my jaw just dropped. I like nudged
and then
my friend.
She just started putting nachos into there and you were like, this is great.
she used to run the little cafe in the council lounge as well. And it was probably the taquitos, to be honest.
You genuinely did have a summer romance.
I did. I flew back to try and foster the love.
Oh.
Got my heart broken.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Ned, why'd you bring this up, man?
I'm bringing it back to Blue Star to redeem himself.
Nah, let's go more into that. But no, I won't pry on the heartbreak. But did your boss know about it? The director?
Yeah, I actually had to approach her dad and ask if I could date her.
No way.
Yeah.
Why? What did she ask you to do that?
Yeah, she kind of said like, oh, if we want to try this, you have to ask my dad. So I pulled him aside and I said, hey, can we have a quick chat, like man to man?
And he's like, yeah, is there any issues at work? You know, is it about your pay? Is it about your, do you want more breaks? And you're like, actually, no, I want your daughter.
Exactly how it went.
Wow. And did he give permission?
Well, he sort of was like, oh, you know, I give you permission to get to know each other a little better, but I don't know about dating, you know. We went ahead with it anyway.
Yeah, you went back to the door like, yeah, he's totally fine with it. He said we can do whatever we want.
Sorry, Papa Cove.
Oh, wow. That's a lovely story. And have you spoke to her? I guess you haven't spoken to her in a while.
Well, we hadn't spoken for a long time.
I mean, Ned's covering his face. Yeah. Ned is covering his face. I feel there's a story.
I forgot you could see.
Maybe I do want to pry into the heartbreak.
Go on.
It's been the office gossip for the last couple days, weeks. It's been intense in here.
It's a recent.
So she messaged me and was like, look, I'm really sorry about everything. You know, it didn't go so well. I'd love to be friends. And I was like, sweet. Like, I'm coming back to camp.
Oh, my word.
So we're going to have coffee when I'm over there. And then against Emily's recommendations.
He's flying from Sydney to San Francisco, staying a day, and then has to fly all the way to Greenville. It's out of the way to go. It's a long trip for coffee. That's worse than my Thanksgiving dinner.
You booked flights today going through San Francisco.
To go to Atlanta.
How far out of the way are you going for this coffee?
It's not out of the way at all.
6 hours out of the way.
It's not out of
flight.
And a night. Gonna stay there.
Crucially, have you asked her dad permission for the coffee?
No. Should I? Oh my gosh.
I mean, I really hope this is it. I hope this is the one. I hope you have this coffee and you spend the night together and you just stay out there forever.
No, we can't.
I think Emily would come and drag me back.
Don't overstay your visa.
Emily, stop being such a cock block. What are you, what's your... What?
I know. I have his best interest in heart.
There was an implication that Ned also has some love stories at his camp, some history. Do you, are there any loves that have gone by?
I mean, you know, there's it's a long summer each year.
I don't want any details. I just want just big ideas, you know, big.
I mean, unfortunately, every summer comes to an end, and so do the romances at camp.
I feel like you're giving me the talk. I feel like you're giving me the talk that you give them. It's been a long summer, but it always comes to an end and everything.
Exactly. Look, if we come back next year, we can talk about some things, but...
Wow, he's got it pre-prepared.
It's ingrained in my memory. No.
Oh, man. No, I mean, potentially there might be some females who are going to work at your camp, so they might listen to this and before going out there, and they'll be prepped. They'll know what to expect.
They can find me on Instagram, Nedyo. That's Nedyo, if you want to find me.
Wow, that was a bit desperate. That was a little bit too desperate, that.
I might follow you back.
Yeah, we'll follow you back. You know, he won't. You know what's happened.
He won't.
Okay, let's get it back. Let's get this out of the gutter. Let's get back onto the... Let's get back onto the wholesome stuff. Emily, did any kids stick in your memory as being just like they left a mark on you? Not physical mark, but sometimes a physical mark. But
No. No. There are so many. I think we had some really tough cases throughout the summer. And then we had one girl in our bunk that we were working with, and she was 14 years old, and she was really tough. And when we first got to camp, we were briefed on her before they even arrived, just to let us know what her background was and what her triggers were. And it was a long, difficult summer. But I remember one specific moment where all of the kids were working towards their camp musical for the end of year, and she had gotten the part that she wanted in The Lion King, which was amazing, and it was probably the calmest and quietest and most beautiful time I'd ever seen her, which when she was singing. I think all of the counsellors along the bench were like crying because she was a completely different girl to who we'd seen throughout the whole summer, and she was so proud of herself, and that was really awesome. And we had some great kids. I mean, we had kids that could list every state in America in alphabetical order and tell you what they were famous for, which was just mind-blowing. Wow. And a bunch of kids that would kind of stim the whole of Finding Nemo. So if ever you were bored, you could just sit down and listen to Finding Nemo.
What, they would sing the whole film to you?
No, they'd go through every single line from opening credits through to closing credits. If there were songs, they'd sing the songs, but they could recite every single line in that movie from beginning to end. It was amazing.
So it was like Netflix. It was like a live Netflix.
Literally. Personalised Netflix. It was amazing.
Right, but only you can only watch Finding Nemo. That's the only limited personalised Netflix.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah.
Makes choosing easy.
Yeah. It takes all the hassle out of choosing. That's the biggest issue. Could you like pause them, or once they started, you know, are you getting the whole film?
No pause button. Once you're on, you're on.
So now you must have a real affection for Finding Nemo. You must know the story really well.
Yeah, affection or hatred. I mean, one of the two.
Yeah, when you hear the opening credits, you just have flashbacks.
Yeah.
That's great though. When the 14-year-old girl sang in Lion King, did her behavior like improve after that? Like, was she easier after she'd done the singing, or was it like, did it go back?
Oh no, she went straight back to normal after that. So it was our brief reprieve. It was amazing for 5 minutes. But no, she was sweet while she was singing.
Yeah. So the real of the lesson is just, you need to get her in musicals the whole time.
Yes, all the time. She should just sing forever and a day. Yeah.
Just Hakuna Matata the whole
time. Yeah. Means no worries. Absolutely.
That's really lovely. Were there any other kids? And I mean, because that's the thing about the special needs camps. There's those sort of extra stories that maybe you don't get at the other camps.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we had, again, kids that would sing Hannah Montana at 12 o'clock at night and wake everybody else up, which was the perfect concert time. We had kids who would just fall in love with the animals that we had on camp. We did have farm animals on camp, and they'd just try and steal the goats whenever they could because they wanted to be with them. And, yeah.
Steal the goats?
Oh, I mean, like, it wasn't farm animal time, so they'd go down and get the goat out of the pen and take it back to their cabin and just sit with it. But, you know, in a...
Would they even try and hide that the goat was there, or would they just be sat there with the goat?
Well, I mean, in amongst the rest of their stuffed animals, so if you could spot the real one, then you were pretty good.
Wow. Yeah. That's, I mean, the goat must have loved that. The goat must have enjoyed getting out.
Absolutely. It was his favourite part of the day.
Em stole the goat once. Em stole the goat.
I did take the goat.
Oh, really?
I mean, I didn't steal. No, I used my Australian talents and mustered the goat back into the pen.
What does a standard day at your camp look like for a kid, from a kid's point of view?
So obviously they get up and they'll be in their cabin. So they get ready. They go and have breakfast.
Are they like luxury cabins? Are they like, because our cabins are pretty basic.
They got aircon. They got computer, TVs on the screen. No, they're pretty much like that stock standard cabin, like with bunk beds. And I mean, kids often quite like they bring their own pillows and stuff. So they've always got like a bit nicer pillows than ours and things like that. But yeah, just like a stock standard cabin. A lot of them, I suppose probably like three quarters of them have like bathrooms inside the cabins, and then a couple of the areas have like a bathhouse like outside. So yeah, they wake up in that cabin in the morning, and they'll sort of all get together and go and get breakfast and hang out for that first like hour of breakfast and just that morning time. Then they'll get themselves like ready for the day. So they always go and get like new towels for the day. Some reason the kids have four towels a day. It's crazy. They go and get new towels.
Four towels a day.
It's the amount of towels that we have at camp is phenomenal. Phenomenal. I didn't know that many towels existed.
Is there like a towel room? Is there like someone whose job is just to look after the towels?
Yes. it's called Central Supply. And
that is Anne's job this year.
Central Supply. And it's full of the towels and the sheets and the pillows and stuff. And there is a guy there that every year is named Mr. Towel, no matter what his actual name is.
Mr. Towel.
So Mr. Towel is there, and he gives out, make sure kids take no more than four towels a day or whatever they're allowed, and make sure their laundry gets in on the right day, and make sure none of the socks get mixed up on the way out, which it's quite a big job for old Mr. Towel.
It's a big job for Mr. Towel.
Massive job for Mr. Towel, but... I mean, yeah, that's the start of the day.
Can you quickly talk me? Sorry, I'm still on the towels, really. I'm still blowing my mind. How are kids using four towels a day?
It beats me. I have no idea.
How many towels are the staff allowed?
It's kind of as many as you need. We use less.
Unlimited. You're on unlimited towels.
I wish I knew a number right now. It's thousands and thousands, like over 10,000 towels, I'm going to say.
Wow.
And it's we have like... During intercession, which is like that mid-session break, we have a massive big, like, if every kid gets a towel, then you get a free ice cream at Granny's or something like this. And they come back with, like, there's 1,000 lost towels that have been left under the porch or down by the lake or something.
Like an amnesty of lost towels.
Mr. Towel drives around with his truck and there's a mountain of towels on the back. He's cruising around with a big smile on his face, with all his towels are coming back.
He's got a towel truck. I'm sorry, I know we spent a disproportionate amount of time talking about towels, but this is unreal.
We have a towel truck, so we get quite a few like vehicles for camp for the whole summer. We get always like some vans to transport the kids, and we get a whole bunch of trucks for like the outdoor like program, the camping, and all those guys. But then there's a towel for the maintenance, there's a truck for the maintenance guys and a truck for the central supply guy for Mr. Towel to do his rounds every day and pick up the towels.
I would honestly love nothing more than to meet Mr. Towel. That would be the biggest guest booking on this podcast would be to get Mr. Towel eventually.
After that, you may have Anthony, he may come back as Mr. Towel, he might fall in love.
Yeah, and we'll fall in love with the towel man.
You're everyone's favourite person. You've got access to all the clean pillows and sheets and blankets.
What a perk.
The doors that opens. You got everything. The world at your fingertips.
Right, sorry. We'll get back on track. So once the kids have got their 25 their towels each for the day, what are they doing?
Yeah, so they'll go back to their cabin and they do what, like they get ready for the day, but there's also something called cabin cleanup. So they, obviously the cabins become a bomb if they don't, they're not looked after properly. So we do, they're encouraged to clean them every day. So that obviously is like they get rewards if their cabin's the best. So it keeps them clean.
Extra towels.
You get extra towels. 50 towels for S7. no, it's, yeah, so it keeps the cabin semi-what clean. And then they go out for their daily, like their activities for the day. So a normal day would just have normal options running, which ranges from like archery and the ropes course to soccer and music. Obviously like the kayaking and rock climbing and mountain biking that I mentioned. They've got hours of the day set aside to go and swim in the lake and the pool.
You've got a swimming pool as well?
Yeah, we have a pool and we had two lakes. The top one is actually empty at the moment. There was a bit of an issue with the dam. But we're working on it. Wow. We're working on the second lake. We had like a zip line and stuff up there.
Two lakes?
A couple of lakes.
Wow.
Yeah, and they go out and do this. Sometimes, quite often, like maybe once or twice a week, each sort of camp will have a trip to like bowling or the movies, or they'll go to like once a session, they'll go out to the amusement park, or they'll go off camp to go like to the White Water Center and go rock climbing and things like that. And then obviously like the specialty trips as well, like the mountain bikers might go out and do their trip for the day and go and ride in the local the National Forest or something around the corner, or the fishing guys might go out and do their fishing trip, or Boone Lodge might go out and do their camping trip. So
I want to go to this camp. So yeah.
Come, we've got a position available. It's working in Central Supply. You get the nickname as Mr. Tao. So I'll send over a contract.
What a twist it would be if I end up being Mr. Tao. I won't tell you. I'll just apply and I'll just turn up, just dishing out towels.
You could run the podcast from Central Supply. It'd be phenomenal.
I'm in love already.
Emily, no, I'm not interested, mate. My dad's very strict. Emily, how does it feel hearing about all that stuff? Because our camp wasn't great. I mean, we barely got one towel each a day.
Yeah, no, it sounds amazing. We had our purpose-built playground, though. That was pretty cool. Right?
No? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I mean...
That was fun. Yeah.
I mean, Ned's laughing at us.
Literally, yeah. He's like, you had a swing. Congratulations.
He's like, we've got a swing in every cabin.
Shh, the kids don't know about that one yet. It's in 2019 special.
But I think there are like the range of camps is crazy, isn't it? Like there's and you when you're first going out there, you don't necessarily know what sort of camp you're going to end up on. So you could end up on this sort of luxury place like Ned, or you can end up in a slightly less well equipped one like us. But the in theory, yeah, a bit more. We're the real, you know, we do the proper stuff. You know, we're not haven't got the gritty work. But in theory, the kids, it's just kids, isn't it, at the end of the day. Like, you know, Ned's got more equipment, but like the you still have to deal with American kids, and that's really the rewarding bit, I guess, other than the free towels. Okay, so that's your summer camps. And I feel bad because we only talked about your love life. We didn't actually talk about your camp. Do you want to share any specific memories from your time at that one camp?
Yeah, I mean, my camp was very different to both of those camps. Like, I worked at a Salvation Army underprivileged camp. We had a different group of kids come through every week, so the relationships we built with kids were super quick and super, like, it was just done. So you're trying to build trust and respect in such a short amount of time. But it was, like, super rewarding to see the smile on kids' faces that would have camped, they would have never experienced. Sleeping away from home for a week and then being able to do all these crazy activities like build rafts to get across the swimming pool. Or
I love that. Yeah, that was the only activity actually. We did a lot of raft building. So, but was it all paid for by did the states like fund for these kids to go? Was it a charity?
Yeah, so it was run by the Salvation Army, which is a charity organization, and they fundraised throughout the whole year to be able to send as many kids to camp as possible and give them the opportunity to experience a summer that they may not never ever get. And for a lot of those people, they're coming from lower socioeconomic homes that are just devastating stories and devastating situations. And to give them that opportunity for a summer was
wow. Yeah, that sounds
someone else.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, but now you're giving that all up to go and work at the most posh private camp ever.
I sound like a terrible person.
You sold out, man.
Yeah,
I sold it.
We have some other programs with underprivileged kids come in and get to experience Blue Star as well. So
that's
we do
good.
It all.
That's nice of you to let them come.
That's good.
Okay, so you've been at camp. You must have some traveling stories. You must have some, because what tends to happen is you make friends when you're at camp, and then you might do a bit of traveling around America with them. We'll go to you, Ned. Have you always gone traveling after every single year, or is the novelty one? Have you sort of traveled the whole of America now?
I've definitely been to, I think I've like almost hit 40 odd states now. So I've been to a fair chunk of the US.
Wow.
My first year, we actually, there was four of us, we bought a car together. It was a 1993 Cutlass Cruiser S edition car. Had wooden panels on the side of it. Everyone that got in the car.
So you bought it? You bought it like outright?
We bought it. We bought it for $600-something.
Wow.
We never registered it, never insured it.
Oh my word.
Whoever we bought it off left the number plates on, so we just drove it. Everywhere we went, like we had people like would draw on inside. There was like a big map that we'd drawn on. It'd gone to a location we'd been to. We did a couple of seasons, like it's up into Canada. We drove from North Carolina, which is in the southeast, across the bottom through Texas and up to Whistler. We used to drive that and then back every year with the seasons. And we did that for 4 years. And unfortunately, the car was taken by the Canadian police and crushed into a cube. But it took us around the country a couple of times. So it was...
Wow. So you had the same car lasted you for those four summers?
It was three summers. And the last one we bought another car, which was a Jeep. A little bit. We stepped it up a little bit. This was 96 model. But we had a Jeep. So that was a little bit better. But
talk me through how the Canadian police got involved.
It wasn't even us driving it. So there was one day we lent our car out to Michael McCann, who I lived with for a season, great guy, took our car, ran a red light, got pulled over, and the police officer was going, like, what are you doing? He was like, what do you mean? It's like, what? Like, you can't drive this car. It doesn't have winter tires on. Hasn't been insured ever. Like, this is registered in North Carolina from 3 years ago. He was like, oh, I don't know. It's not my car. And they were like, look, we're going to tow it. They took it to the tow thing, and they were like, you can probably pay us to get it out, but we'll give you $50 for the battery and we'll take it away. And they crushed it in Vancouver. We got $50.
The police end up paying you for the car.
Yeah, take that, RCMP.
It's a pretty sweet deal. Yeah. You managed to get away with an uninsured vehicle for that long and then they paid you.
Yeah, that was, we nailed that one.
Emily, do you want to tell us about the work that Camp America Australia are doing and what you're gearing up for this summer?
Yeah, so at the moment we're just about to close our 2019 season and we're gearing up for 2020, which should be opening up in July this year, which would be really exciting. We're currently celebrating our 50th anniversary for Camp America. So we've done 50 summers, which is really exciting. And we're pushing for as many people as possible to share in the same experiences that we've been able to share in as well. So if you want to go to camps, definitely start your application as soon as possible. Give us a call in the office, send us an email, and you could be having a great time like we are.
Or just slip straight into Ned's DMs on Instagram and he'll... he'll tell you all the information you need to know. No, man, it'll be an honor to be in Ned's DMs amongst some illustrious company.
Thank you so much to the Aussies, Ned, Anthony and Emily, for being absolute brilliant guests this episode. You've been listening to This One Time at Summer Camp. I'm Steve Brugere. Please subscribe to the podcast if you enjoy it and leave a little rating, a little review. That'd be really, really handy. Thank you very much. And if you've got stories yourself that you want to share or you just want to chat about camp or just anything really, I'm quite lonely, you can tweet me at Steve Brugere, BUGEJA. Come say hello and maybe I'll read out some of your stories on the podcast. Thanks for listening.